Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to continue to talk about the three umpire system and NFHS. Last time we talked a lot about base umpires, responsibilities, rotations, and others. Today we're going to cover the plate umpire, as well as some tips and tricks and how David was able to learn this system and maybe some things that can help you.
Yeah, hopefully. So before we jump to the plate umpire, though, we did forget to talk a little bit about something from the manual for the base umpires for when they chase and going out, staying out, not to come back in, but then also just kind of how to go out and what your responsibilities are. So when you do go out, you want to run out parallel to the path of the ball. You don't want to run at the fielder who is making the play. You want to run parallel, so that's going to give you a really good angle on a catch, no catch. You also want to be, for anything that's going to be close to the foul line, you want to be on the foul line as well, because you're responsible now for fair foul. When you go out, you've taken responsibility for that entire call. So you've got fair foul, which means you're indicating. When the ball is touched, you're going to indicate if it's touched in fair territory or foul territory if it's close to the line. And then you're going to indicate the catch if there is a catch. If there is no catch, there is no signal. You'll see people sometimes out there signal going safe. And it's like, no, you're going to signal a catch if you have one. And if not, you're just going to make sure that you don't get hit in the ear hole as she throws that ball in. And then you're going to turn and watch the field. You're going to pay attention to what's going on the field. You're watching for things like you may be able to help if there is an appeal, if there is obstruction, if there is, you know, something bad happens on the field. You want to have your eyes on the field and paying attention.
Yeah, because while that is the umpire's call to make, you might be able to provide that additional information that helps him make his call under appeal.
That's right. And about the only time, and I wouldn't pregame this because it is a deviation to the mechanic, but if you find yourself in a situation where, let's say you're U1, this could happen, you're U1, and you chase a fly ball to right field, and they miss it, and the runner decides to go to second, but the right fielder gets the ball to second and the runner says, uh-oh, and gets stuck in a rundown. And so U3 has come over onto the field because U1 chased. U3 is on the field and they're responsible for that call there. But there's a rundown between second and first and second and first and second and first, right? You can, if the situation warrants, say, I've got one, and jump in and help with this rundown situation, because that's one of the most difficult things for a single umpire to handle is a rundown situation with high quality runners.
Yeah.
They can run a long way from you. And depending on how the defense was trained to handle a rundown situation, it could go on for a little bit.
Yep. And if you think about in a traditional, so normally what we described was someone chases, it reverts to a two-man system, which would mean the plate umpire might be a person who helps at least keep an eye for obstruction or whatever. So he may move pitcher circle depth or ish to keep tabs on that. Now, if a throw gets away, the runner may end up going to third. And so now you've got a lot of people in a weird position to deal with that.
That's right.
So that is, so in two man, it's just tough luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's tough. You better hustle, right?
That's right.
But if you, the way you described it would be a good thing if U1 could get back in the action there and kind of keep an eye on first base, freeing up that plate umpire to also help maybe with some obstruction visualization, but also have themselves in a better position to get a base to third on a ball that gets away and then a close play there.
Exactly. Now it's make darn sure your partner knows you're there.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, I'm close enough, I can help. No. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get back in, you better get back in, right? You need to get back in.
Yeah. Cause then we don't need safe out.
That's right. Yeah. We don't want those ever. Okay. So now on to a couple of different things. So I'm looking at a spreadsheet that I created several years ago. You could probably look at the info and see when it was created. So this spreadsheet was created back in 2019, looks like. And so 5 years ago. And I created it because I was about to get in the car and drive to my very first USA Nationals event that the UIC had indicated all games were going to be the three umpire system. And I went, uh-oh. I haven't done that. And so I created this spreadsheet and I made it a printable size so that I could print it and hand it to my wife and say, hey, we're gonna test me on this on our 8-hour drive to Maryland. And so much to her chagrin, we did actually do that. So what the spreadsheet looks like, and we'll paste this up in a bitmap format so everybody would be able to open
bitmap.
It. Whatever you call it. What do you call it? It's a bitmap, whether it's a JPEG or it is a bitmap, isn't it?
I get what you're saying.
Okay. What should I have said?
It's fine.
What should I have said, computer guy?
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay. It's cool. So anyway, a picture. We're going to put a picture of it up on the website. Yeah,
we'll screenshot and put it up there.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, it essentially has starting position, fly ball coverage, and base responsibilities for the base umpires. And down the left-hand side in the rows, it has then where the runners are. So nobody on in the starting position for U1 is first base foul line, 18 to 21 feet. Boom. So it's just a big summary of everything that we talked about in the
episode. A gigantic hole in the spreadsheet. You don't have the starting position for the plate umpire in all those scenarios.
Oh, shucks. if you haven't figured that out by now, go back and listen to episode 2.
It's the in the slot behind the batter. Yeah. Or behind the catcher directly, yeah, but exactly. In that area.
Yeah. And I don't know about it if it's episode 2 either. I'm just being a smart aleck. So that's the first part of the table. And then I've got some notes about that. And so some tips and tricks. Some of this is content that we had in our three umpire system episode, but base umpires only walk with nobody on all other times. They're 12 to 15 feet and go set. Yeah, we said that. So nobody on, you're walking. If anybody's on base, you're 12 to 15 feet and you're set no matter where you are. Base responsibilities are based on the base hit to the outfield scenario. So just how my head worked back in those days, it was like, what bases do I have to cover? They change only slightly on base hits to the, I'm sorry, ground balls to the infield and on fly balls, you know, we're remitting to the two umpire system. So I just always think about if there's a base hit to the outfield, what bases are my responsibility? And in the three umpire system, that's a really important one because if I'm on the line, if U3, I keep saying I because I just did a U3 game, but if U3 is on the line over there and the first base umpire chases, you've got first and second. And first is a long way away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say first and second, it's like if that umpire turned their back and chased and the runner is actually the first baseman, you know, from the other team,
yeah,
and it takes her 3.6 instead of 2.6 to get to first, there might be a play at first. That play is yours and you were U3. And so you got to get your butt across there. So you got to think about that. When the base umpire goes out on the fly ball, you revert to the two umpire system. Of course, in every situation with multiple runners, U1 is on the field. So if there's multiple runners, U1's on the field. And the only time U3 is on the field is with the runner at first.
Yeah, and then U1 is on the field also when the runner is at second only.
U1 is on the field with the runner at second only. Yes, that's right. In addition to multiple runners. That's mm-hmm. right. Yep, you got it. When rotating, so here's some tips. I had some tips. The first tip, I'll read the first tip, and then Pete will read the second tip because he's sitting there getting bored because I'm just doing all the talking.
No, it's great. You're the one with the voice for radio, and I'm the one with the face.
No. Oh, boy. When rotating, that means no runners on, first only, or third only. When we are all in, ground ball to the infield or outfield, nobody chased, U1 should make the call at first, if there is one, and then you're going to bust your butt down the first base line, lined up with the lead runner heading to third. So this is a tip that I did get in probably a national, I guess, but parallel the runner from second to third. And if you're behind, you're going to have to hustle because she may turn and go home and it's your responsibility down there because you're rotating, right? And so we actually just had this as a pregame in my district championship where the umpire who was playing the part of U1 said, when do I go? Right? When do you want me to go? You play. When do you play want me to go home? And it's parallel that runner from second to third. Because there's no reason to bust your butt down there if she's still standing at second base. Right? She's not going. You know, you need to know it's your responsibility down there. But the plate umpire probably hadn't completely evacuated the plate because girl's not going to third. You know, they're going to be up the line a ways. But you certainly have time to get there. And then if that runner takes off from second and goes to third, you run alongside of her if you're U1. You know, you're in foul territory over by, you know, first base dugout, but you run alongside of her and then you're going to be at home in plenty of time to make that call if you need to do it. What's the next tip there,
Pete? Yeah, so the tip for U3 is that when you're on the line and your partner goes out, bust your butt to first base.
Yep.
The only thing to watch for on the way is obstruction by a shortstop if there was a runner on second, or obstruction by second base if there was a runner on first. You need to be ready to call the backdoor attempt on first on the batter runner.
Yeah, backdoor attempt on first base on the batter runner. So you've got first. You got to get your butt over there. So the next tip is also for U3, and it's if U1 is on the field, stay at third base unless U1 goes out. So if U1 is on the base, they've got first and second. You've got third. So it's your only responsibility, third base. Because remember, if U1's on the field, we're not rotating.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have one responsibility, and it's third base. And then help your partners. Is there another one?
Yeah. So if you are U1 or U3, when your partner goes out, listen for the plate to yell two-man while you do a tight button hook and then repeat. If they don't yell it, you yell it.
Okay, that's USA. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that if that's in the NFHS book or not. We'll have to look that up. I mentioned we were going to do that in the last episode as well. So maybe we'll pause here real quick and find that. Okay, yep, I verified that in the NFHS, in the Federation book, the manual, you do communicate in the same manner that you do in the USA. So what we've been saying about that is true for both sanctions, USA and Federation. So two more of these tips, and then we're going to get to what the plate umpire does, which is supposedly what this episode was about.
So. U1 or U3, when a plate yells something, usually two men are all in, repeat it. Good communication there. And it lets them know, A, if you or U3 and you repeat what the plate umpire said, you may help U1 who didn't hear it the first time. And B, it also communicates back to plate umpire that he knows that we're all on the same page.
Yep, that's right. Also, this communication piece, just in general, and this applies to all umpire systems, when it's time to communicate, this is a struggle for many people. It's a struggle for me for sure. I can tell you in my post game from my district championship, my post game with Linda, I said, you know, I got to tell you, I probably went out 8 times. Maybe 9 times, they were hitting the ball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably chased 8 or 9 times, maybe even 10. And if I had to guess how many times I yelled going, it's less than the number of fingers I have on my index finger of my left hand. So I probably, maybe once, possibly one time. The other 8 or 9 times I didn't yell anything because I was concentrating on running parallel, watching the ball, and knowing that my plate umpire could see my back. They can see both shoulders. My partner looked at me. And so I did look at my partner and said, you know, hey, because I want to make sure they're not going, and then took off. Okay, so let's talk about the plate and what the plate umpire is supposed to do. Just like there was a table that I mentioned above talking about starting positions and coverages and things for the base umpires, in my little table here that I printed out to help me learn, I also put what the plate umpire was supposed to do in all of these situations. And these come from the manual, and across the top, the columns are, you know, the ground ball to infield, a base hit to the outfield, a fly ball, who's responsible for what, and which bases that we're responsible for. So as a plate umpire. So with nobody on and a ground ball to the infield, just like in two-man, you trail the batter runner, and then you're responsible for third base. Right. So from Jerry Fix clinics, you're trailing that batter runner, and then if you do need to get to third with nobody on, you're going to cut across the diamond to get your angle first and then close the distance. So typically that's going to be because there was an overthrow at first base. Right, we got a ground ball to the infield. Usually there's going to be an overthrow if there's going to be a play at third. Pete, you look confused. Did I say something wrong?
No, I was just checking up. I was double checking my thought process on that, where you mentioned that he has third, and I was saying, you know, he or she, the umpire, has third, and I was thinking, why doesn't U3 have third? And I was like, I wonder if it's because he's up at second base. And so I looked at your handy dandy chart, and I saw that is in fact the case, that he is at second base. And so he has run in and he is there, so that means the plate umpire has moved up.
Yep. Same thing on base hit to the outfield. You're going to trail the batter runner, and this is a third of the way up, which, by the way, let's sidebar here real quick. And I don't know if I've mentioned this in a podcast. I've said it several times to friends and umpire friends, but I consistently give myself a hard time about being old and overweight and slow and whatnot. But I've been getting my hustle on because I'm down some pounds. But still, when you're doing higher level softball, and, you know, so postseason high school, usually good ball, you know, good athletes out there. And, you know, we're in the summer season now, and, you know, you're gonna be doing the college showcases and things like that. These girls are 2.6, 2.7 to first base. And so a third of that way would be like less than a second. They're a third of the way. So it takes them less than a second to get a third of the way, and it's going to take them less than three to get up there. So that means if I'm going to get a third of the way, I have to do it in a third of a second. Less than a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in less than a second from me behind the plate, in less than a second, and the chances of me getting a third of the way up the line,
it's not happening with the speedy ones.
I'm gonna get 2 steps. She's gonna be at first base. So if I'm supposed to stop and see the play, I might clear the catcher by the time that girl gets there. But But anyway, that's the book. You know, no more than a third of the way up the line. And then on a fly ball, we're still at nobody on. We're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to trail the batter runner and then third base. Now, why are we trailing and have third base responsibility? I no longer have any fly ball coverage, right. You know, with no runners on. Because with no runners on, my base umpires have the big V, so they've got it all, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no fly ball coverage responsibility. And then responsible for any call at third base. And are we rotating with nobody on?
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I'm responsible for any call at third base. Yeah. So then with runners at first base, almost everything is the same. So you still trail the batter runner and have and then go to third. You trail the batter runner and go to third on a base hit to the outfield. You trail the batter runner and go to third on a fly ball. The only thing different now is that you do have some fly ball responsibility because mm-hmm. when there's a runner at first, my U3
is
over at second base. And so now the plate umpire has left field to left dead field ball. Dead ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then what if there's a runner at second, Pete?
So in that case, your ground ball to infield movement is to... Okay, what is
the corner of the batter's box.
Oh, okay. Batter's box corner, same thing for a base hit to the outfield. If the there's fly ball, you're going to the holding zone. The runner on second, you have right field to right field dead ball with fly ball responsibilities. And you are responsible for home plate. No rotation because runner on second, U1 is on the field. We're not rotating.
That's right. So you've your responsibilities at home. So you're gonna stay home and be at the corner of the batter's box waiting on a play to come there. Except for in a fly ball, you're going to move to the holding zone. Yep. With a runner at third only, we do have a rotation situation here. So if we have a ground ball to the infield, we're going to go to the corner of the batter's box because I might have that a play at home. You know, that runner at third may be coming mm-hmm. home. And so I've got that play as a plate umpire. Same thing for a base hit to the outfield. And then I'm going to move to the holding zone because I have home and third base if we rotate. Right? So first I have home for that runner from third.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plate umpire has third base after that.
Because at that point, the runner scored. It's almost like you started with no runners.
Yeah.
And so, exactly yeah, right. It's those responsibilities.
Yep. You got it. And what if there's runners at first and second, Pete?
So in that case, you still got the batter's box corner as you get going for base hits to the infield or outfield. You're going to go to the holding zone on a fly ball. You're responsible for right field to right field dead ball on a fly ball because first and second, you've got umpires on the field. That's why you are not rotating.
Yep.
And you're responsible for home plate there.
That's exactly right. That is the exact same thing for runners at first and third and for runners at second and third. So you have first and second, first and third, second and third. You hit the batter's box corner on any ground balls, infield or outfield. You move to the holding zone. You're responsible for any calls at home. And because U1 is on the field, you've got right field to right field dead ball.
And so this chart doesn't have loaded first, second, and third.
It sure doesn't. It's the same. So first, second, third is the same as multiple runners.
But first, second, and third, where are... So U1 is on the field?
Yep.
Okay. And so then, yeah, so it becomes exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. So I guess in my chart here, I probably could have just put multiple runners. This is what you do when there's multiple runners. And remember at the beginning of the, or in the middle maybe, of our three-person episode, we said, well, the plate's got like the least amount of stuff to do. So Pete's going to look that up and make sure that I'm not lying to you.
About which thing? I was checking out something. Oh, I was checking out just bases loaded to make sure it's
right.
Difference.
And then I started a page here in my spreadsheet for some situations that you might run into. And I had mentioned this one in the previous one, but I'll say it again. On a fly ball right at the center fielder, U3 should get this. And arguably, U3 should get anything the center fielder is playing, even if it shades right field. This saves U3 from having to bust it over to first. My partner from that game a couple of weeks ago said that he chased on a center fielder going out for a fly ball. He chased on the center fielder because she took steps toward first base. And I think that's the exact correct mechanic. You know, if the center, because we've got the whole V, right? And the center fielder is going to play the ball. Well, which way did she have to run? Did she run to the third base side or did she run to the first base side? And so if she ran to first base, U1 was chasing. If she ran to third base side, U3 was chasing. My request in the pregame was just, hey, if the center fielder's playing it at all, let U3 get it. That way they don't have to run all the way across the field. So that's what I had for the plate. My tips and tricks, how I learned the three-person stuff. And I did that right before I went to a tournament that every game was three-person. And Thank goodness my wife was a good study partner, because we were able to get it done, and I got some really good evaluations and feedback on that one, and I actually earned a plate for a championship game in that.
Where you had to do the least amount of work.
Where I had to do the least amount of work. Yeah. Like, maybe that's why they put me at the plate, because I didn't know what the I was doing anywhere else. Oh, I can't say that.
No. Nope. I'll bleep that out. All right.
That's so what I have for today.
I think that's the episode. We're at time, so that sounds good. So until next time.
Thanks for listening.